grab your Bibles if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Romans, specifically chapter 12. Moving from there to 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to just welcome in all those that are listening in online and over the miracle of the internet. So High Risk Family, can we help welcome in those friends from all over the world? Come on with a big round of applause. We're glad that you're tuning in this morning. We're praying that God will touch your heart and strengthen your life as we dig into his word together. This morning, I want to do something very, very special. I'm extremely excited to do something that I've had on my heart for a long time to do, and I can't wait to do it, but it's a surprise. I just have to wait till the very end. I'm sorry, but I just can't help it. I'm overflowing with excitement getting ready to do something special, which is always cool. But as we're digging into God's word, I was wanting to bring us something special, a little standalone message specifically dealing with these times, the days that we're living in right now. And I think it's a timely word around election day. Anytime that you're going to vote, where's my voters? Where are you at, people? Come on, everyone should have your hands in the air. If you're over 18, you need to be voting. Hey, and I believe if you don't vote, don't complain. So don't tell me that the state of our country is doing something that you don't agree with if you're not willing to vote against it. But here's the thing, looking it through the eyes of my son, who's a first-time voter, I can't believe in my 42 years, and I know that I'm no spring chicken, I'm not extremely old, but in my 42 years, I have never seen our country more divided than it is now. And ever since 2016 in the election there, we've seen a division that has hit our country that I've never seen, and maybe those that are more seasoned than I am could say, well, there's other times that we've seen it like this, but I don't recall it ever being this bad. I mean, would you agree? Where it's almost like if you're on one side of it, then you must be a racist and a bigot, and if you're on the other side, well, you're just crazy. If you're in the middle, you're wasting your vote. And it's incredible that 100% of Americans think that 50% have lost their minds. So my son was asking me all these questions as a first-time voter, and I think I failed as a parent because I realized I don't know a lot of the answers of the things that he's asking and the things that are important to a first-time voter of what do I vote for? I'm like, hey, you just vote like I do. No, I told him, I'm not trying to influence your vote, but here's the things that that each candidate will stand for. You need to make sure that you're an informed voter. You need to vote your priorities. So he began to ask questions, what about this and what about that? How do I vote on this issue? How do I vote on that issue? And I thought, man, I've never seen the country more divided because my son is filled with YouTube videos of people attacking someone else because they have voted for a different candidate. And it's amazing to me as we see our country becoming more and more divided every single day along the lines of political parties. And what is the church's response in that? How do we stand strong and love well? How do we love people that are different than us and that believe differently than us? How do we love people that might not have the same set of standards or morals, the same upbringing, the different color skin? How do we do that? How do we stand strong and love well? How do we live by our convictions and still love others? How do we show the world something different? And if we don't, how will they ever change? And so what I began to realize as I'm talking to my son is it's spiritual warfare. That is spiritual warfare, that spirit of division, that spirit of contention. Dividing and conquering is a military tactic to get people to hate each other. That is not what God has called the church to do. We are called to love. We're called to love well and to love when it's not easy. We're called to, the Bible calls it the ministry of reconciliation. Every single Christian, if you believe in God, we're called to this ministry of reconciliation. How do we reconcile differences if we're not willing to have conversations? How do we reconcile differences if we're not willing to lay down our strong, hardcore beliefs to be able to reach out across the line to someone else and say, how can I understand you better? Are you willing to listen to me? How can we have civil conversations? And as we recognize spiritual warfare, one of the things that I've learned in my years of ministry, and I realize I haven't done it very long, but this is about the 15-year mark. One of the things I've realized is that anytime that you're counteracting one spirit, you do it with the opposite spirit. So when you're experiencing division, you come in the spirit of unity. You come in brotherly love. The Bible says if you're experiencing fear, that perfect love drives out all fear. So love is the counteraction for fear. So how do we deal with this divisive and contentious spirit? And I want to have us look this morning at this overlooked spiritual weapon that we have called honor. Honor. We are to be people of honor. So if you're a note taker, we're going to talk today about bringing honor back. Justin Timberlake didn't just bring sexy back. Today, Pastor Tim's bringing honor back. Come on, somebody. So I told my son a few weeks ago, the only difference between a politician and a flying pig is the letter F. And he thought that was funny. Some of you may not. But I thought it was pretty hilarious. And as we're talking about, how do I honor someone that just lied to me? How do I honor someone that I voted for, and as soon as they get into office, they do the complete opposite of what they said they were going to do? I'm reminded of growing up, and I remember the senior George Bush saying, "No new taxes, read my lips." 6 months later, well, there's the flying pig without the letter F. What happened? Politics happened. I remember all the promises that get made and having to explain it to my son. I see it in a new way. And as we're coming to God's word, it's interesting that the Bible speaks very specifically along the same lines of what we're dealing with in our country and as a church. The Bible speaks to the anti-Semitism. The Bible speaks to racism and the divided political lines. We see this happening in the time of Esther, when the king is anti-Semitic and begins to listen to an advisor that tells him we ought to kill all the Jews. We see it happening in the time of David, when people are following after David and the other half of the country is trying to still follow after Saul, the established king. We see it happening over and over and over. And the thing that begins to heal nations is honor. Honor. Now, the Bible tells us specifically that we're to honor our parents. We're to honor authority. Thank God it doesn't say you have to vote for them. And you don't have to like them. But you do have to honor them. How do you honor someone that doesn't behave honorably? As we're looking in God's words, I think it's interesting that we find guidance there, some great tips on how to respond. Because honor is a forgotten attribute in our culture. So I want to give you three quick thoughts on honor, and then we get to do something that's kind of fun. But number one, if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Honor is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice that each of us have to make inside of our hearts of whether or not we're going to respond biblically and bring honor where honor is due. I think in my own heart, I want someone to deserve it first. I want them to deserve it before I honor them. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that my parents have to behave honorably. It says I have to honor them. Now, I'm grateful that I have two honorable parents, but many of us in this place, you don't. Your parents didn't do the best that they could. Maybe they didn't know the Lord. Maybe they made a lot of mistakes. But the Bible doesn't give exceptions for parents that make mistakes. It says you honor your parents so that your days may be long upon the earth. You do it. It's a promise with a premise. Honor them. And I think as well as wanting someone to deserve it, I want them to honor me first before I honor someone else. I would prefer it be that way. The Bible doesn't give me a lot of room to be able to behave that way. So Exodus 20, verse 12, it says this, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." I don't know about you, but I will enjoy a long life. That'd be nice. I'd like to have a few more years. So God is saying, when you choose to honor your parents, whether they deserve it or not, I will see and I will honor your choice. God says, I will honor you if you honor them. So I think we can agree that we can honor without agreeing. I don't have to always agree with my parents to still honor them. I don't have to agree that everything that they did was the right thing. I think even they would agree that they've made mistakes. I'm a parent now, and I can look at my children and say, man, I'm glad they turned out better than I parented. But as parents, we love having children that bring us honor. It's important that we honor as well. I love that God never forces us to honor him. But over and over in his word, it's telling us to honor the Lord, honor him. It says this in Proverbs 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. God's saying, I love it when you honor me first. And in turn, I will honor you, showing us the honor goes vertical. Second thing I want to tell you this morning is that honor is essential for Christians. It is Christianity 101. We are to be people of honor. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. We are to be people of honor. One of the things that I was drawn to about this church from the very beginning is the honor that is among us as believers. Honor has always been a strong part of the DNA of this church. And those of you that have been here from the beginning would agree it's a big deal here. And I think one of the reasons that is because we don't have a history of people in the pulpit doing stupid things. It's easy to honor people when they don't do things that are dumb. Praise God. We have a legacy of strong leadership here. And I'm privileged to be standing in the same place that many honorable men have stood, and women. I hope that I can do their legacy well. Because honor has become part of what we do, and it's something that our next generation needs so desperately. Honor. Honor is essential for Christians. So the Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And I want you to notice this next scripture. Outdo one another in showing honor. Your version may say honor everyone. It says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, and contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. So the Apostle Paul is speaking to the way that we treat each other, and he says, outdo one another in showing honor. He's saying it can be a competition. So now, not only is honor vertical, but now it becomes horizontal. So he's saying honor doesn't just go up. You don't just honor your authority. You don't just honor your parents. You don't just honor your boss, but now you honor people that are below you. And you honor your peers, those that are next to you. We are to be people of honor. Somebody say honor. It's important for us to see that honor doesn't just go up, but it goes vertically. It goes horizontally. The third thing I want to tell you this morning is honor is always done publicly. And here is where I think the rubber meets the road. Because some of us say, well, I have honor for you in my heart, but we never really express it. Well, imagine if that was love, and imagine if that was your marriage. I would contend that you wouldn't be married that long if you're not able to express your love and do it publicly. We can't just be married privately. I don't know about you, that doesn't work. Honor is to be done publicly. And so as we're doing research on the word honor, the Hebrew word for honor is the word kabod, which means to add value to or to add weight to give a little extra, if you would. I'm reminded of a certain restaurant that I believe is just a wonderful gift from God called Chicken Express. And some of you laugh because you know where I'm going. Here's the thing at Chicken Express. When you order chicken tenders and you order a four-piece, they don't give you a four-piece. They're going to give you at least a five-piece. And sometimes even a six-piece. To the place where if you don't get six, I've seen people complain. Wait a minute, I ordered a four-piece and I only got five. But they always give extra. Have you noticed this? Don't act like you've never been to Chicken Express. There's some people with bigger bulges on their bellies than mine. You've been to Chicken Express. You've seen it. There's one of the reasons why people go there, because they always give you a little bit more. They add weight to. Now, they're adding weight to me. They're adding weight to some of you. But more than that, they give you a little extra. This is the exact example of honor that the Apostle Paul gives over and over, that the Old Testament gives over and over, saying you add value, add weight to. You give a little extra to them because they're worth honoring. So the Bible says we're not to just do it up, not to just do it down, but we're to do it all around. We're to honor everyone, outdo one another in giving extra, giving more. Adding value to someone's life, adding weight to them. Honor is done publicly. I was reminded of this in Esther chapter 6. We alluded to this in the very beginning of the message, but I want to show you this. what had happened in this particular passage, I'll give you kind of the preview of what's coming, is there's a man named Mordecai. And Mordecai overhears two people talking about assassinating the king or the president of the day. And so he decides that he's going to find a way to tell the king, hey, these guys are going to assassinate you, even though this king is anti-Semitic. Even though this king is about to issue a decree that all Jews, like Mordecai, are to be killed. He chooses to honor, even if he doesn't agree with his political party. Do you see this? And so he tells the king, these guys are going to assassinate you. Well, the king says, you know, hey, these guys are going to assassinate me. He finally deals with this attempt and ends up not even thanking Mordecai. He forgets about it. Then several years down the road, he's like, wait a minute. Wasn't there somebody that tried to kill me? And what did I ever do for that guy? Did I honor him? Did I say thank you to him? And in the meantime, there's a little sub-story going on of a man named Haman. And if you thought someone else was racist, Haman was the ultimate racist. He wanted everyone dead. And so Haman has been working this plot to get close to the king to have all Jews killed. And so Haman ends up walking into the king one day. And the king is thinking about Mordecai. And Haman assumes that the king is thinking about him. So this kind of catches you up when the king asks Haman about Mordecai. So this is picking it up in verse 3. It says, Haman, what honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? And the king asked him, nothing has been done for him, his attendants answered. The king said, well, who's out in the court? And Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole that he had set up for him. His attendants said, Haman is standing in the outer court. Well, bring him in. The king ordered. And when Haman entered, the king asked him, what's going to be done for the man that the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought to himself, well, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? So he answered the king, for the man that the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe. The king has worn it, and a horse that the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on his head. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man that the king delights to honor. The king says, go at once. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew. Wow. This is one of my favorite stories. This is one of those I told you so moments. This is one of those aha, gotcha, got him moments. You talk about instant karma. You can't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. Because everything that someone had tried to do, when honor is present, God turns it around on itself. And here is Haman having to lead Mordecai through the streets, honoring him publicly instead of killing him, impaling him. The Bible says this made Haman so mad that he built a huge gallows. I'm going to have this guy hung. But at the end of the day, who was hung on that gallows? Haman. Honor changes things. And honor is done publicly. I like this about David in 2 Samuel chapter 23. David knew what divisiveness was. Lots of people were following after David. He was the young buck. People wanted him to be king. They were tired of the old regime. This new guy's going to solve all of our problems, and the country is torn between David and Saul. But David begins to honor Saul. You won't find scripture where David dishonors him. As a matter of fact, the closest David ever comes to dishonoring him, he cuts off a part of his robe in secret. And then he feels so bad about it, like I should never have even touched his clothes. But I was trying to show him how close I could have gotten to him without killing him and prove to him, I'm not against you. David chooses to honor Saul, even though he doesn't agree with him, even though Saul has tried to kill him twice. David honored up, and then David begins to honor those that are serving with him as well. And I love that David lists it up by name. Look at this. He says, Josheb, he calls him. He said, he raised his spear against 800 men. This is a great chapter, by the way. You need to read this sometime. Look at verse 9. Next to him was Eleazar, one of the three mighty warriors, and he was with David when they taunted the Philistines. We just sat there and we talked trash all day. Then it says, then the Israelites retreated, but Eliezer stood his ground, and he struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and it froze to the sword. Can you imagine one guy standing alone and just slaying all day long till you can't even get the sword out of his hand? Baller. Then the Lord has said, brought about a great victory that day. Next to him was Shammah. And when the Philistines banded together, it says, Israelites' troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it, struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Verse 13, during harvest time, three of the 30 chief warriors came down from David at the cave of Adullam. And David longed for water, it says. He says, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of the near the gate of Bethlehem. So these three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines. They drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and they carried it back to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. He says, far be it from me, Lord, to do this. Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives? And David wouldn't drink it. And I love how David begins to name and honor publicly the men who had done great things. We see the same thing happen to Apostle Paul in Romans 16. He begins to list all the friends that have done things for him, making sure that their names get included in the Bible. These heroes of the faith. Some of them were Jews, some were Greeks. I love how Paul crosses race lines, party lines. Racial tension is dealt with by Paul. He lists several friends of different races, different ethnicities, different backgrounds. Some were new believers. Some were old believers. Some were converted Jews, and some weren't. But in those moments, I see that we are to be people of honor. Follow the direction of the Word of God. We are to be people of honor. And if honor is done publicly, then today we get to honor publicly some of our heroes in this house. This is something I've been looking forward to for a long time. One of the things that is in our culture, you're going to find this, if you go to any group, at some point in the group, you're going to have a night where you do spoken blessing, where people honor you. And it may seem really, really weird at first, but by the end of the night, you're going to wish you had more Kleenex than you thought was available, than you thought you're going to need. Because it's a powerful thing when people begin to tell you what they see in you, and how you've been a blessing to them. How many of you have experienced this in groups? You've seen this, what I'm talking about? It's a powerful thing. There is no night like spoken blessing night. It's something that we look forward to in every group. We look forward to seeing the walls come down as honor begins to tear down walls. And I'm telling you this because we don't just do it in groups as a church, but I do this in my own family. This is how we treat our children. Every birthday, special days, we do a spoken blessing for my children. My children do spoken blessing for me on Father's Day. We each take turns and go around and talk about how much we love the other person and things that they've done and what we appreciate them about, what do we appreciate about them. I think it is the biggest mistake of this life to wait until someone's funeral to tell them how you feel about them. How foolish is that? Well, I never told him while he's alive. Well, that man just made all the difference in the world to me. Why didn't you tell him while he's alive? He might still be here. If he had something to live for, right? But we wait till the eulogy to tell someone how we feel about them and the things that we noticed about their life, the things that meant so much. How foolish is that? We are to be people of honor, and honor is to be done publicly. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me to a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you walked away from him and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.